Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what is ancestral memory? Jeannie Milgram was born in Havana, Cuba, into a Roman Catholic family of Spanish ancestry. From a young age, she felt unusually attracted to Judaism, and, after going through a formal conversion, discovered that she is, in fact, one of the B'nai Anusim, descendants of forced converts. After a remarkable job of genealogical research, she was able to trace her maternal lineage back to Jews in 15th century Spain. A few weeks ago, we spoke with Jeannie about her personal journey to Judaism and how she found her 15 grandmothers. As we mentioned on that program, Jeannie participated in the inaugural session of the Knesset Caucus for the Reconnection with the Descendants of Spanish and Portuguese Jewish Communities, and the conference, the Anusim Diaspora Today, Jewish Challenge and Hope, which was held in Israel last month. This week we're speaking with her about the conference and also about an exciting new project that she's working on.
Thank you very much for speaking with us, Jeannie. There are a couple of things that I would like to cover. The first thing is the first Knesset Conference for the Reconnection with the Descendants of Spanish and Portuguese Jewish Communities, which you participated in and which was held in Jerusalem in October. Could you first tell us a little bit about the conference itself and what its purpose was?
Correct. Yeah. The background of the conference was to try to put the problem out there in the world that there's a lot of these descendants of Spanish and Portuguese crypto-Jews or Marranos or whatever the correct word now is today that are trying to come back to the Jewish people. And wherever they may be in the United States or in Latin America, they're facing incredible challenges in doing so. And up to now, the problem has been seen by people like myself who goes out into these communities and speaks to the people, or people contact me wanting to reconnect with their Jewish ancestry, or organizations in Israel that dedicate themselves a little bit to helping and reaching out to these descendants. But there has never been a concerted effort to take all of the people that have been involved with this and put them together in one room and say, okay, what are the problems? What can we do to ease this along? And let's move forward from here. And that was the purpose of this conference, really, to get that to happen. And they chose to do this in Israel, and the World Jewish Congress was one of the sponsors. The Institute for Sephardic and Anusim Studies out of Netanya College, academic college, as well as a group called Reconectar, started by Ashley Perry in Israel. And he really was the one that decided that this was the time that this needed to be done so that action could start to be taken in different areas of, let's say, the problem that exists. So that's the background of this.
Can you tell us specifically about your own contribution to the conference?
Well, I was chosen to be, there was two voices of B'nai Anusim, one young woman from Porto that spoke in Hebrew who has since returned to the Jewish people and made Aliyah. And so she spoke of the difficulties that she had with the system and precisely the things that are trying to be fixed in Israel. And I spoke about what I see firsthand overseas, and the reason that I feel that people are perhaps not being taken care of, or Israel, or let's say the World Jewish Congress is not seeing us as they used to see Russian Jewry, for example, when all of a sudden the whole world came out to rescue the Russian Jews and make Aliyah and go to Israel. But with us, it's different because I spoke over there about the fact that we come back one by one. We don't come back as a group, so nobody's seeing these crowds of people trying to come back. Usually it's one person out of each family. Their souls awaken, and they're in this journey by themselves. And it's a very lonely journey. So I spoke about the fact that there was a need to have not just a vehicle for them to return to Israel. A lot of these people in Latin America, they don't want to return to Israel. They just want to be able to learn Judaism. They want to be able to go to a place. And some people just want to say, I connect with the Jewish people, I have these roots, but they want to remain Catholic. So it's important for everyone to understand that not everyone wants to come back as far as that goes to Judaism. And my point of my talk was, we as Jews, we need friends all over the world. So if somebody in Cusco, Peru, is proud of having his Jewish heritage, and he can be a friend of Israel and a friend of the Jews in some remote location of the world, then this is good for us as a whole. And so I think that was the gist of my own participation and my talk over there.
You said a lot of people contact you, and I imagine from different countries. Do you find that the problems that they have vary according to the country that they're from, or is it all pretty much the same?
I think it's all pretty much the same. I think that we're struggling a little bit more in Latin America because there's a huge movement of Messianic Jewry, or general call it Messianic Jews. I just call it the Messianics. So I find that when people open their eyes and they start trying to connect, there's huge Messianic churches that are gobbling them up, so they never quite make it all the way. And they confuse them in the middle. So I think that this is something inherent to Latin America, to El Salvador, to Ecuador, and other of these smaller Latin American nations. I see a lot of people contacting me, funny enough, from New Zealand and Australia, and they don't have this over there, not as rampant as Latin America. Lately, New Zealand and Australia has really come up. I've got a lot of people contacting me from there. You know, it's natural when you see people contacting me from, like, say, the Philippines, because this was conquered by the Spanish, and, you know, you had the Spanish. But from Australia and New Zealand, this is something very different. But they are in all four corners of the world, really.
Can you tell us a little bit about the conclusions that they came to at this conference? Did they decide to take any specific action?
I don't think that there was any specific conclusion. I think very important was the fact that there were a lot of people talking about the problem. Now, one of the big problems that I'm hoping some of the solutions that were discussed is that if you wish to convert, we're not talking come back with your genealogy like I did, or find your genealogy like I did. We're talking convert to Judaism. There's no approved Beit Dins or Jewish courts south of the border of the United States. So if you live in Argentina or you live in wherever, Latin America or the Caribbean, you cannot convert. So they were talking about perhaps taking and making a traveling Beit Din that would take approved rabbis, make it an approved Beit Din out of Israel, and have them travel to these countries so that they can start helping these people come back if they want to. So that was something that I think may happen sooner than later. We also spoke about perhaps having Taglit, birthright, be extended to the descendants of crypto-Jews. And this would be something very important to get, you know, our children to get in touch with the land of Israel and the people as much as any other one of the Jewish communities out there. So these two things are things that we may see right away. And another one is to get some sort of a Reconectar, and Ashley Perry's doing this, get some sort of a blog going where people can connect with each other and they can ask questions freely. Netanya Academic College, under the direction of Professor Avi Gross, they are also doing a lot. They're offering series, many-part series on crypto-Judaism. So I think that, you know, we're already seeing a lot of these outreach and blogs coming up, but it's going to be slow.
Changing the subject a little bit, could you tell us about your new project, the Ancestral Memories?
Yes, I have been reaching out to the B'nai Anusim around the world via Facebook and my own email contacts and asking them to share with me their stories of ancestral memory.
Could you first tell us what you mean by ancestral memories?
Yes, ancestral memory, I believe lately it's been called genetic memory. It's memory that we carry in our genes. And they've done test studies on people that have been Holocaust survivors and the children of Holocaust survivors. And it seems that we, scientifically, they've been trying to prove that we're carrying some of these memories in our genes. And they come down, and you don't know why you feel a certain way or you think a certain way or you remember a certain event. Now, whether it's proven or not proven scientifically, I can tell you that in my own case, in the case of all of these people that write to me, there are these memories that they just don't know where they came from. Memories of standing in certain places, memories of seeing Jewish graves in an evangelical family and in places where there's only Christians or Catholics. So my idea was just to compile all of these stories from around the world, tell a little bit about what was the history of crypto Jewry in that region, and then try to put it together in a book form and just put it out there so that people see and can read firsthand from real-life people that are running around today around the world that are sharing a lot of these ancestral memories. In my own case, I remembered places of the village of my great-grandparents, streets in my head that I didn't realize that I was seeing this until I got there physically, and I instinctively knew where to turn. There was one street I kept seeing again and again and again in my head, and when I got to the village of my ancestors, it was the street where the synagogue used to be.
Wow.
So I know I'm very connected to my own grandmothers and all 22 of them that I know, and I'm connected to my ancestors because I've done so much work for them and I know their names and I just feel them around me helping me in all the projects that I do. But I also know that I have memories that they have shared with me. So whether we get to it scientifically or not, it's irrelevant. These memories are there. So I'm working on compiling all of these ancestral memories.
Are you getting a lot of contributions, and are they from all over the world?
I absolutely am. And especially, I did a call out to different communities. I did this on Facebook. I've gotten an incredible amount of stories coming back in. I have one gentleman now from New York, young guy, early 20s, and he's come back to me with this amazing amount of memories. He's from an evangelical family. I've got another gentleman out of Australia. So they're coming back to me with this. So it's really very, very interesting.
Is there a profile of the typical person who has contacted you about this, or is it just people from all walks of life in all different countries?
Absolutely not. You know, initially, I thought it was people that were religious in their own religion, whether they were Catholic or they were evangelical or whatever they are. But as time has passed, I see that I get a lot of people contacting me that are not religious, that have nothing to do with religion. And it's funny, but this whole Reconectar movement, let's say, that was made at the Knesset, it really is not about religion in many ways. It is about connecting with the Jewish people or connecting with the Jewish ancestry. So, you know, perhaps Israel's afraid that they're going to be flooded with people making Aliyah. And I said it over there, I'm not sure that that's what these people want to do. I think it's about the connection. It's about connecting with the Jewish people and with each other. And I think that if we can accomplish that as a whole, if we the Jewish people can accomplish that, we would have many descendants returning, and those that don't return would definitely be our friends around the world.
If any of our listeners are interested in contributing to this or in contacting you, how can they do that?
Well, they can contact me at SpanishAncestry@AOL.com. and depending on how much they want to be involved or they want to contribute to this effort themselves or whatever it would be, I can certainly put them in touch with the right people. And I know this movement right now is very strong.
Is there a time limit, since you said you were going to put this into a book?
I think within the next 2 or 3 months, certainly by the end of January. And I'm trying to see if there's a method or a rhyme, but there really isn't. So anyone that has these stories and these ancestral memories, please just send them to me and let me know where you live and how you came about this memory, and that would be great.
Okay, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think that it's just important for everyone to try to get on board with this, try to get on some of these Facebook pages, and whether it's in Israel at the Institute of Morano Studies in Netanya or with the Society of Crypto-Judaic Studies here in the United States where I'm president, or with the Feconectar group out of Jerusalem, whatever it is, it's important that you get involved with us or one of our groups so that we can all work together for the whole.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Linda. It was always a pleasure.
For more information about Jeannie Milgram, her Spanish Ancestry Project, or the Knesset Caucus and Conference, please go to the links on this page. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.